This is Chapel for March the 2nd, 1962. Dr. Glendon McCullough is leading our worship.
Art thou weary? Art thou languid? Art thou sore distressed? Come to me, saith one, and coming, be at rest. Hath he marks to lead me to him, if he be my guide? In his feet and hands are wound prints, and his side. If I ask him to receive me, will he say me nay? Not till earth and not till heaven pass away.
May we unite our hearts in prayer. Our Father, in this day which thou hast made, may we see the beauties that thou hast created all about us. For the heavens truly declare thy glory, and all the earth shows forth thy handiwork. We come before thee this day with thanksgiving, and will enter into thy courts with praise on our hearts and our lips. We thank thee, Lord, for the joy of life, the light of the mind, the perception of the soul and spirit, whereby we feel thee near and know that thou hast fashioned us as temples unto thyself. Above all, O Father, we thank thee for the life, death, and resurrection of thy Son, our Lord, which has brought to us peace and life everlasting. As we see our life against thy perfection, and against that which thou hast intended us to be, we realize our shortcomings. Forgive us the sins we have committed to please ourselves, O God, and the sins we have committed to please others. Forgive us our unintended and our deliberate sins. Forgive us those sins which we know and those sins which we do not know. Create within us a clean heart and renew a right spirit within us. We remember in a very special way this day the missions conference, our Lord, which begins on our campus today. We pray for each one who shall participate in this conference, for each student who comes seeking, for each leader who will seek to point the way. We pray, Lord, that all that is done and said in this conference shall be to thy honor and glory. As thou hast called each of us into thy service, O God, may we never say no to thy calling. As we think especially today of the need of missionaries round about the world, may we be willing to say courageously and sincerely, here am I, send me. For we know, Lord, that we have a wonderful story to tell to all the nations. We pray that you would inspire us with a fiery zeal to go and carry this message to all the world. Open our eyes to lands across the sea, and may we respond to that call that comes saying, come over and help us. And Father, may our eyes not be blinded to the needs that exist here in our own homeland. May we be responsive to many areas that are white unto harvest, and yet there are few who go to labor. In this hour of worship, O Lord, we would commune with thee, and we would seek to understand more completely thy perfect will. For in Jesus' name we do pray. Amen.
We have several guests in our chapel service this morning. Too many, I'm sure, for us to take time to recognize individually, but we are delighted to have you, and we extend to you a very hearty welcome. One of our guests is our speaker for this morning, and it is a special pleasure to have him to minister to us. I came to know him personally several years ago when he spent a year on the campus of the same school where I was living and working in Japan. And his ministry for that year left a lasting impression and a striking impression upon my Japanese and missionary colleagues, and also left a permanent fruitage in the lives of young people on the campus. He has, since that time, become secretary of the personnel department of the Home Mission Board, a very significant position, and he is performing there a very fine and important ministry. We welcome to this platform and to this worship service Mr. Glendon McCullough.
I have only just a minute, only 60 seconds in it. Forced upon me, can't refuse it. Didn't seek it, didn't choose it, but it's up to me to use it. I must suffer if I lose it, give account if I abuse it. It's just a tiny little minute, but eternity is in it. It would be well if all of us could look at the moments that are ours for the eternal possibilities that are wrapped up in them. It would perhaps be well for us to look at some of the moments of our own lives as we recall them this morning, to know what the decisions and the leading of the Lord in our lives in those moments have done for us, to us, and through us. In the early days of television, they had a program, I do not know if it is still on, I saw it a few times, entitled You Are There. I can hear the words of that announcer now as they would take their stance at some great turning point in history or some great event in history. And after a brief description of it, he would say, things are now as they were then, except you are there. Would you stand with me this morning for a moment with a man named Moses? In his moment of facing the Lord and of hearing the Lord say, Moses, you know the sufferings of my people down in Egypt. You know what they've gone through. You're my man to lead them into the promised land. What a moment. And Moses remembers all of his past. Lord, I can't do that. I grew up in that land. Pharaoh knows me. He'll never believe I've come from you. I've killed a man. My past almost prevents my doing what I need to do now. My inabilities stand out. What a moment. But my friend, things are too much now as they were then, except you are there. And the children of the Lord, those of his creation in sin's bondage, suffering frustration and disappointment and heartache that sin brings into lives, need to be led to freedom. And the moment of decision comes for many of us, for things are now as they were then, except you're there. Would you stand in a moment of destiny with a man named Joshua? On the borderland of the promised land they stand. What days these have been. How the Lord has blessed. Food to eat, water to drink in a desert that produced it not. enemies that could have slain now are dead. The bondage of the past shaken off, and the promised land lying ahead. But the committee sent into the promised land to spy it out comes back to say, it indeed is a land that flows with milk and honey, but there are giants there. And we'd rather be back in Egypt making straw brick without straw. And in that moment, a man named Joshua stands to say, it's true, there are giants there. But have you forgotten, Israel, how the Lord divided the water, how the Lord sent the plagues, how the Lord fed you and blessed you and led you? We're well able to take it. What a moment. I submit to you that too many things are now as they were then, except you're there. And in the midst of discouraged people and of those in all confidence who know that the world cannot be led to our Lord, and of those who have despaired and given up, and those who even call to march into the promised land now despair of ever getting there, and of a nation that seeks to build spiritual foundations without spirit. Things are now too much as they were then, except you're there. Would you stand in a moment with a man named Paul traveling a road to Damascus? Well trained and prepared, doing what he thought his religion wanted him to do. And that day on the road to Damascus, in a moment, he met the Lord. And that day, a man who had seen so many things to do was made blind to all of these and given new sight of the possibilities. Things are now as they were then, except you're there. But you say the road to Damascus doesn't run through this room? This isn't Egypt? This isn't the borderland of the promised land, isn't it? Isn't it? I would ask you just briefly to stand with me in four other moments of history. Would you stand with me in Joppa with a man named Peter, dreaming with a vision from the Lord? And Peter is saying, but Lord, I never have. But Lord, it isn't clean. And the Lord is saying to Peter, you have no right to call anything unclean that I have made. And Peter leaves that place to go to minister to the Gentiles, and to get called before the Sanhedrin to answer for his following that moment of leadership of the Lord. I submit to you that things are now as they were then, except you're there. And we, even in our churches and in our own lives, have decided what peoples, what languages, what races may do this or that, go here or there. And some of us in this day in our nation need to come to Joppa and let the Lord do for us what he did for Peter, knowing full well that if you follow that commission, you'll find yourself before some Sanhedrins somewhere. Things are now as they were then, except you're there. And what's done about it will depend on this moment of the Lord's dealing with you and with me. We have a department of work with National Baptist. I suppose no greater response to any area of our home mission work has come from these Negro brethren We do not need to help them organize new churches or to send missionaries. They have more churches, more members than we have. But they have been receptive at the point of assistance in training their leadership. 400 Negro Baptist pastors in Georgia last year attended the leadership classes as they studied the books of the Bible, the doctrines of the Bible, the organization of the church. But there's more than that. And before we're going to extend our witness to a whole world, some of us are going to have to come back to Joppa and stand in our place at this moment in history and let the Lord speak to us. Would you stand with Gideon in his father's field? And the angel of the Lord comes to talk with Gideon, and Gideon says, "But Lord, you've deserted us. And our nation has gone astray and into decay because you've left us." No, Gideon, the Lord hasn't left you. You left the Lord. And it's true that your nation is in decay. It's true that your nation needs help. Gideon, I'll help you do it. You're the man to do it. At the leadership of the Lord, Gideon called the men together. 32,000, weren't they? I, like Gideon, am impressed with numbers. I guess most of us are. And when the Lord said to Gideon, "Gideon, too many are here. You say to those who would rather go home that they go." And that day they flooded the highways back toward home. Things are now frightfully as they were then. Large churches, great attendance, great throngs. But if you were to ask in the Lord's behalf, those of you who would rather go elsewhere, go. The aisles are filled more moving in that direction than they are in this. And when it comes down to where we know what real discipleship is, the thousands go home. Things are now as they were then. But the Lord led Gideon with that little handful of true disciples who were willing to do whatever. And the enemy fled. Concern for our nation, where more than 70 million are not members of any church, synagogue, or temple of any description. And 42 million of those who are of Roman Catholic background. And others are Mormon, Buddhist, Shinto, Mohammedan. And a large percentage of the few left, comparatively, who call themselves Christians, so inactive. Areas that need such a witness. 2 weeks, 3 weeks ago in our appointment service, we appointed a man to a mission in Lansing, Michigan, a city of 26,000 people, and a university there with 30,000 students, and not a Baptist church of any description in that city to minister to them or to the university students who are there. Areas of our land where the Christian witness, as far as Baptists were concerned, was strong 100 years ago, where now there is none. The needs of this land of ours, things are now as they were then, except you're there. Would you stand with Jonah when the Lord said, "Go to Nineveh"? That wicked city. But you see, Jonah was like most typical Southern Baptist. He was of a small town, rural background, and he didn't know how to deal with the city. And I dare say that most of their churches in Nineveh had already moved to the suburbs. And they had left the downtown area for all of its wickedness. And when the Lord said, "Go to Nineveh," Jonah bought a ticket to Joppa and checked the sailing schedules for Tarshish. Things are too much now as they were then, except you're there. And there's the city of Los Angeles that needs every Monday morning to organize a new school for 500 students who moved in the week before. And there's the city of New York. And you can stand atop the Empire State Building and see on a clear day where live 7 million lost people. And in all of these cities throughout our land, there are areas where in goodwill centers, rescue missions, and other types of work, there needs to be a ministry. And I say this to you with great conviction and sincerity, because in the 3 years I have been the personnel secretary of the Home Mission Board, we have had every year vacancies in these mission centers that we had not the missionary personnel to fill. And though I know there are many other calls, I also have the feeling that in too many seminaries, too many students are buying tickets for Joppa and checking the sailing schedules to Tarshish. And there are hundreds of thousands in these centers who need the love of the Lord Jesus Christ shared with them. And as I talked with that young couple the other day on the Southwestern Seminary campus, if you'll pardon the word, as I talked with them about their decision, about their life's work, and I knew of some of the opportunities they had for service and some of the challenges that had come their way, and I knew their academic record, and I knew his pastoral experience, but they said, we have seen enough of the problems of these destitute in these cities by the hundreds of thousands, that's where we'd like to invest our life and lose ourselves in sharing the love of God with these. Things are now as they were then, except you're there. One other moment, would you stand with me? Peter stands on the day of Pentecost. Read the second chapter of Acts. Those words are thrilling to me. As they say here, the Galileans have preached to us and we understood in our own language, yet we've come from Rome and Crete and Asia and Egypt. But these Galileans have preached to us and we've understood it. Oh, wouldn't you like to have been a part of the conversation on the ship that sailed for Rome following Pentecost? Wouldn't you like to have been around the campfire with the caravan headed back for Egypt? Now the Lord had said to these disciples in the 120, go into all the world and preach the gospel. And they had stood this day at Pentecost and preached, and thousands had heard and now go back. Not 12, not 120, but thousands to their shores and to their lands to say the Galileans preached to us this story and we understood it and they could share the story of God's love. And there are 70,000 students from foreign countries on our shores and universities this year who could be a part of just such a ministry today. But some of us haven't seen it. There are more than 20 million foreign-speaking people in this land of ours, but some of us have not seen their needs. More Jewish people in Chicago than in Jerusalem, more in New York than in Israel, more Polish people in Chicago than there are in any city of Poland except Warsaw itself. More Puerto Ricans in New York than they are in San Juan. The needs of this land of ours, of these who need to hear in their tongues and who for the rest of their days will be saying the Galileans told us the story. I'm daring to say to you that because a man named Peter standing by the Sea of Galilee, rugged though he was, had followed the Lord as best he knew how, still it was on this day the Lord really used him. On another day, he used his sword in the only way he could think of to defend his Lord. He had some periods of denial, but now he had come to a moment of destiny, a rendezvous with the will of God for his life, and the Lord used him to minister from Jerusalem to the ends of this earth. Things are now as they were then, except you are there. Our Father. Forgive our blindness. Forgive our walking day by day, even though we may have done well, we have not done what thou wouldst have us do. Forgive us, our Father, though we've answered many calls, for not being so sensitive to the call and direction of the Lord for our lives. And our Father, even in this moment, if it could be that this is the rendezvous moment, this moment we didn't seek, we didn't choose, but this moment that is ours, that could be important for the destiny, not just of our lives, but for others. Make us usable, and use us, we pray, in Jesus' name.